The Holy Gospel is from the 11th chapter of Matthew. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. The poor have good news brought to them, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes and are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You can go ahead and be seated. There's a couple there. All right. So I gave the kids some candy, and you're going to get something as well at the end of the sermon. The ushers are going to pass you out an article, which I'm going to refer to, which is called Grace, Grace, and More Grace. So this is why this article comes up. So I'm reading these readings. You know, we're in the third week of Advent, and we've had Isaiah, and now we have John the Baptist, who are prophets, and Jesus is a prophet, and prophets are people who speak the truth. And the truth that the prophets speak, if you look in the Isaiah reading right in the middle, verse 5, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away." That's that. And then if you go to the Psalms, which some say were written by our buddy King David back there, right in the middle there, "Who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger? The Lord sets the captive free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked." And then you have the James reading. And there at the end of verse 10, "As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord." And then we get to our gospel reading, our good news reading. And we have this reading for the third Sunday of Advent as we wait for Jesus to be born again. And John the Baptist is wondering, "Jesus, are you the guy? Are you the guy we've been waiting for? Are you the person we've been waiting for? Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive the sight," prophetic, "the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed," like Isaiah talked about, "the deaf hear and the dead are raised," resurrection, "and the poor have good news brought to them." And then this kind of little complicated one, "And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." Now, it's hard sometimes because I ask my friend Dean, you've heard me talk about Dean before, this is the Baptist-turned-Lutheran pastor in Tennessee. I said for him this week, "All right, Dean, what is grace? And where do you find it? What's it look like?" Because all of us Lutherans, we always talk about grace. What is grace? Well, it's, you know, God's love for us. And so, every time I ask Dean a question, he always comes up with an answer. So here was the answer he gave: grace, grace, and more grace. He said, "I just happened to have received an article about grace. Grace, grace, and more grace." And it's by a guy named Tolian Chavijan, and it's not even spelled like that sounds, but it's Chavijan, Tolian, and I'll just say Tolian, or Chavijan, I'll try and say Chavijan. And he happens to be the godson of Billy Graham. And he's a pastor, senior pastor at, where's my reading glasses at? Oh, thank you. At Coral Ridge Presbyterian in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. yet. And so as I was thinking about grace and as I was thinking about that phrase, don't take offense at what I do that Jesus says. It's hard sometimes if you're going to truly follow Jesus and do what Jesus did, that sometimes it's hard not to take offense. Because when you see lepers that are cleansed and you see all these different folks that are getting help, and maybe you're not, or you're not in the way you thought you should, it's hard. It's hard when those who don't deserve it get it. And we don't. Well, in this grace, grace, and more grace article, this is some of what he says, and I'm going to pass it out because it's so stinking good. You got to have a copy for yourself. But I'm not giving it now because then you'll read it and you won't listen to me. And that's okay. I mean, I don't need to be listened to. But I just want to make 3 points about that. I'm going to read a little bit of the article. Here's what he says about grace. Some of the many things. Our efforts, what we do, they matter in the world. Because we are people who have to make an effort to live. But for God's purposes and God's grace to come to us, our efforts do not matter. That's the main point of this. Our efforts matter in this world. What we do matters. What I do, what I'm doing now matters to what you're experiencing. And when we go out of this place, what we do in the world matters for ourselves and for our neighbors. Those things matter. That's being human. But for God's purposes and God's grace, what we do and what we don't do doesn't matter. This is what he says. Grace doesn't make demands. It just gives. And from our vantage point, it always gives to the wrong person. And Jesus was talking about that. Look what you see, John. You see all this great stuff happening, even resurrection. Grace all over the place. And it might be the wrong people. You might think that. But this is what it's about. And don't take offense. That's just how God's grace is. We see this over and over again in the Gospels. Jesus is always giving to the wrong people. Prostitutes, tax collectors, half-breeds. The most extravagant sinners of Jesus' day receive his most compassionate welcome. Grace is a divine vulgarity that stands caution on its head. It refuses to play it safe and lay it up. Grace is recklessly generous, uncomfortably promiscuous. It doesn't use sticks, carrots, or time cards. It doesn't keep score. As Robert Capone puts it, grace works without requiring anything on our part. It's not expensive. It's not even cheap. It's free. It refuses to be controlled by our innate sense of fairness, reciprocity, or even handedness. It defies logic. It has nothing to do with earning, merit, deservedness. It is opposed to what is owed. It doesn't expect a return on investments. It is a liberating contradiction between what we deserve and what we get. Grace is unconditional acceptance given to an undeserving person by an unobligated giver. I like that. Grace is unconditional acceptance given to an undeserving person by an unobligated giver. It is one-way love, and that's a book he wrote, God's Grace. It's one-way love from God to us. That's what grace is. So our efforts, they matter, yes, for each other, but for God, it's one way. It doesn't matter. And then he gives a couple examples. You know, hopefully you've experienced grace in your life, or you've seen it. And that's what I always like to, when I talk about grace, I always like to talk with people and say, it's just like, you know a liar when you've seen them because maybe you've lied before. Or you know someone who does something they shouldn't because maybe you've done something that you shouldn't before. Or you know someone who does something good because you get that. You know it when you see it. So he says, think about it in your own life for a moment. Odds are you've caught a glimpse of one-way love at some point, and it made all the difference. Someone let you off the hook when you least expected or deserved it. A friend suspended judgment at a key moment. Your father was lenient when you wrecked his car. I've done that twice. And there was a moderate amount of lenience, but more than I deserve, really. But your teacher gave you an extension, even though she knew you had been procrastinating. I may have asked for an extension before. You said something insensitive to a spouse, and instead of retaliating, she kept quiet and somehow didn't hold it against you the next day. If you're married, odds are the person you ended up with showed you this kind of love at some point along the way. And if you're still married, that's happened more than once, probably. That has in my life. Thank you, Pastor Beth. So you know it when you see it, and you've lived it before. So grace has to do with not our effort, it's God's effort to us, and you know it when you see it. And then the third kind of image, I really like this image. Have you been on a roller coaster before? Who's been on a roller coaster? Who in this room has gone upside down on a roller coaster? Who has gone upside down more than once on one ride on a roller coaster? All right. So see, I mean, we're getting smaller. I mean, but if you've never gone upside down, you should do that in your life. We took my mother to Disneyland, and at Disneyland, on the California Adventure side, there's a roller coaster that does a 360, and we should have got the shirt when we saw it, because when we went back, it was gone, but it said, I survived this roller coaster. And my mother, you know, I don't want to say I was deceptive to my mother, but I didn't tell her the extent of what was about to happen, because I knew it wasn't going to happen if the truth, I wasn't a true prophet at the moment. I was like, let's just go on this. And she held on to my hand and screamed the whole way. There's a point where you can't scream. So, but anyway, it was a good experience. But I got to say his name right. Javijan says about grace using the roller coaster image, which I just like it. Grace is a bit like a roller coaster. It makes us scream in terror and laugh uncontrollably at the same time. But there aren't any harnesses on this ride. We are not in the driver's seat, and we did not design the twists and turns. We just get on board. We laugh as the binding law of gravity is suspended, and we scream because it looks like we're going to hurtle off into space. Grace brings us back into contact with the children we once were and still are. Children who loved to ride roller coasters, to smile and yell and throw our hands up in the air. Grace, in other words, is terrifyingly fun. And like any ride worth standing in line for, it is worth coming back to again and again. In fact, God's one-way love may be the only ride that never gets old, the only ride we thankfully never outgrow, and a source of inexhaustible hope and joy for the exhausted world. So grace is like a roller coaster. We know it when we see it, and efforts matter, but for God, they don't. And then the last thing about grace I want to talk about is that is something you point to. And that's what Advent is. And that's what John the Baptist was in this reading and is in this reading today. John the Baptist points to something beyond him. And here's what John Burgess says about our passage today. The 20th century Protestant theologian Karl Barth regarded John the Baptist as the prototype of Christian discipleship. Over Barth's desk in Basel, Switzerland, hung a reproduction of the Eisenheim altarpiece, executed by Matthias Grunewald in 1515. To the left, John, the beloved disciple, holds Mary, Jesus' mother, as she looks in horror at the bloody, pierced body of her son on the cross. To the right, John the Baptist, in bare feet and camel's hair cloak, holds a book in one hand, and with the other raises his long, bony index finger toward Jesus on the cross. That, says Barth, is true discipleship, simply to point to all that God has done for us in Christ. Who am I? Asked Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Barth's contemporary, in a poem from prison only a few months before the Nazis hanged him. Despite all his efforts to live faithfully, He wondered whether he was just a hypocrite or a weakling. Who am I? Every Christian asks sometimes. In John the Baptist, we find an answer. To be a disciple, and I would say to be a person of grace, is no longer to look at oneself, but rather to look at Christ. In pointing to Him alone, the disciple's own identity finally becomes clear. Whoever I am, Thou knowest, O God, I am Thine. And that's what grace is. It's like a roller coaster ride. And we know it when we see it. And we've lived it. And it's not about our efforts. It's about God's. And we are His. And so we wait again for Jesus to come. Our Emmanuel, God with us. To once again remind us of this grace, which is for us all the time. Amen.